still want to get an airborne, like right there.
That beat just hits so good that I can't even hear myself think. But I am now. Well, welcome to the Roaring Glory Podcast. Welcome to episode 13. Lucky number 13.
Yeah. Can we say that, that word?
I don't know. Oh. I was in the hospital one time awaiting surgery, and I noticed that I was in like bed like 10, and then it went 11, 12, 14, 15.
Oh,
they didn't have 13.
Gosh.
I was like, and the hospital's so superstitious? I'm a little stitious. Not that superstitious. So this podcast episode is going to be all about youth ministry.
Yep.
And that voice that you just heard was Emma Thoman. Emma Elizabeth?
Catherine.
That wasn't even close.
I was thinking.
You didn't even have the right
person. I was thinking
letter.
Queens of England.
Oh, no.
And I got the wrong one.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. That was a good guess.
So Emma Catherine is here. She is the youth director for FBC Holt. The three of us just came off a wonderful youth camp in Branson, Missouri, and before that, during that, and after that, we've had a desire to do this podcast on youth ministry, to get the word out, to get inside what it is to minister to the young people of our day.
Great
and time.
Choice.
Yeah.
The young people.
So let's just talk about youth ministry experience right now, youth ministry experience. Andy, do you have any youth ministry experience?
As far as ministering to the youth, I've led worship for a couple camps now with FBC, and then at the last church I was at, I led worship for the youth for a few months on Wednesday nights. So in that context, yeah, a little bit, but not nearly as much as either of you two. I have more experience being a youth.
I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you, like, help youth musicians?
Yeah, a little bit. So when I was leading for the youth, I tried to integrate the youth that wanted to help lead worship. And we spent some time before we would lead the rest of the group in worship. We spent some time practicing and talking. And one in particular that I really tried to help shepherd in the right direction. So a little bit. Again, not a ton, but a little bit.
Okay. Did you see any difference in them and the things they deal with versus what you dealt with not that long before you encountered them?
Yeah, and we may talk more about this, but
we'll talk more about it.
Social media, the connectedness of everyone to know everybody's business.
Yeah, I don't remember using a cell phone until I was 16, and I don't remember texting until I was in college, really.
Yeah, so when I was in youth, the only contact I really had with anybody was when we were at church. So two or three times a week, and that was it. But these kids are like always connected. They know each and every person's personality based on their social media profile anyway, maybe not who they are for real life. But yeah, there's kind of that interconnectedness that I think kind of played out in the way that they treated the youth minister and each other and also other volunteers. So it was interesting.
Yeah, amen. I have about 4 years or so of youth ministry experience. And but we mostly want to focus on our current youth director, Emma. Emma, when did you start leading, directing the youth program here?
I would say back in August 2017. So this will be the start of my fourth year.
So like right before I got here?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, it's been a crazy
I didn't realize
journey.
That.
Yeah.
Good. So Emma, let's just hear your testimony. Let's just hear how you came to know the Lord.
Yeah, so I was raised in a Christian home, so the Bible and just going to church was something normal for me. It was like an everyday thing. So I would say I, like, you know, you have everyone always talks about, like, you know, they pray the prayer, you know, when they're 5 years old. And that would be me. But when I was 16, I had a realization that it was more than just, like, a one-and-done prayer. It definitely then is when I totally started realizing that it's a relationship, and a relationship can't work one way. So I started really focusing and diving in more into the Bible and learning who God is versus just being told about who God was through my parents and through church. So that was pretty amazing. And then ever since that, like I said, this whole process in becoming closer to God is like, or being renewed is a process, I should say. So there's been several things throughout this year and like the past years that have really helped me grow closer. So it's been crazy and amazing just to look back and see how much I've changed by through God's grace. So.
Amen. So yeah. You guys kind of have similar testimonies, kind of similar backgrounds.
Yeah, yeah.
Growing up in that Bible-saturated home, having to that faith become yours, mm-hmm.
yeah.
not inherited.
Yeah.
Amen. Well, Emma, we were going over the show notes, and I always balk at what term to use for the youth, because youth seems like kiddie. Mm-hmm. Teen seems like, I don't know.
Weird.
Like, I don't know. I don't know how to describe it. Like, I don't know, it seems like an 80s or 70s term, like,
right.
anyways. Oh. So, I know that you have something to say about the term teenager, so what do we call them?
Well, I prefer to call them young people or, what else, young people or young adults. I know they're still not really an adult, in words of the, like, what the world says, but I view them as, if you're going to give them responsibility, they're going to take it, or if you don't give them responsibility, they're not going to take it, and they're going to live up to what the world says they should mm-hmm. be doing. So if you do teenager and you give them excuses to live as a teenager, then they're going to do it. So I like to give them more responsibility than just what the world wants them to take.
I like that.
Yeah. Yeah, because we're like becoming really old children
mm-hmm.
now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say a fun fact that I learned in undergrad is that the term itself as teenager didn't come around till the 1940s. So it's not always been a thing.
Yeah, that's interesting to hear, because mm-hmm. I wonder what was behind that?
I think it was, it was a while ago that I took this class, but my research is like the world started targeting the younger people from 13 to 19. So you'll see magazines, the magazine 17 started in 1944 and kind of taught, this is how girls should act. This is how girls should look versus girls, working hard and taking responsibility for certain things.
Wow. So it was kind of the culture's way of giving mm-hmm. them an excuse to not grow up yet.
Yeah.
Peter Pan.
Yeah. And the book I'm referencing, he considered the teenagers inexperienced adults, and that's what he called them.
Inexperienced adults.
Yeah.
So I'm going to take us off course here, because I think this leads into their their home lives or their socioeconomic backgrounds. How does giving them responsibility play into how they respond with kind of how they grew up or where they're at?
Yeah, so some of them take it really well. They're excited to be given responsibility, whereas because they haven't at their house. And some kind of just run away from it. They don't want to be held accountable. And they'll even tell me, you will tell me the truth. Every time I go to you, you'll tell me the truth.
Wow.
And then I'll see those kids that say that not come to me for a year because they don't want to know the truth and they don't want to live by the truth. So
that's pretty interesting. I think we can see that in all walks of life, not just young adults. But that's interesting.
It is. It's very interesting.
This is really weird, but it reminds me of watching Old Yeller with the boys and the older brother. He's probably not 13 or 14 in the movie, and just the responsibility that they had at that point in time. His dad would go off on a trip and all this sort of stuff, and that 13 or 14 year old was now the man of the house, and on his shoulders was the responsibility to protect and to feed and to farm and all that sort of stuff, and we don't know what that's like at all. So anyways, one thing I'm curious about too is, how did you even find yourself in this position of ministering to young people?
Yeah, so after I graduated from high school, I kind of kept attending youth group just to help out as where I was needed. So I was doing that, and our church started doing a dinner on Wednesday nights, and there was these two boys that weren't even in youth group, but they totally captured my attention, and I found myself wanting to minister them, wanting to, at church, helping them learn. And so through those two and just getting more connected into the youth group after I graduated, I kind of just got connected. Hmm. So, yeah.
And then just fell in.
It was the time I realized there was a need here at FBC Holt is when we didn't have a senior pastor. And then a couple months later, our youth pastor had left. He gave a week notice. And I told my dad, I was like, even if there's two kids here, or sorry, let me rephrase that. Even if there's just two young people here, they need someone. They need to be know that they're needed and be cared for. So that's kind of how it happened.
Yeah, that's kind of how it happened for me. I was born again and got connected with this pastor, and I was like, look, I just want to do something for the kingdom. Like, what do I do? Like, I didn't even like have youth ministry on my mind, but I was just like, what do I do? And so he's like, well, why don't you come just like volunteer and help with the youth? That'd be a good fit for you. I said, okay, let's do it. And the first few months there was miserable. I was just blown away because they were all like seventh and eighth grade, and that age is very kind of trying to find themselves and moving from child to teen. And I was like, man, I don't know. But like Emma said, the driving passion for them to come to see and know the Lord carries you past that sort of thing. So eventually, you know, there was a hole to be filled, and the Lord said, you're doing it.
Yep.
And so you're doing it.
Yep. It was not expected on my end. Yeah. So.
And as you guys can probably already tell, Emma is a woman. So we are complementarians, which means that we believe in biblical manhood and womanhood and the roles established thereby and all that sort of thing. So a lot of times this position is called youth pastor. And that's seen as kind of another pastor in the church. We call it here youth director. And so what would you say, Emma, to people that might have an issue with you being a female and leading this youth ministry?
Well, I would, as I was talking to my dad about this, I would reference maybe back to like 1 Timothy 2:12. It's talking about how a woman should not be over a man or like want to have that power. So I am under like Dakota's authority. And other men in the church, especially my dad as well. He attends youth group with me every week, and I really rely on him to guide me if I'm off on something or just to kind of take control of different situations. Mm-hmm. And I don't have that desire to rule over or have that authority over men.
Yeah, and we don't see men in the youth group.
Right.
So.
Yep, they're still learning.
Yeah. So we are glad that she is the one leading this ministry, but. What do you think, Andy? What do you think about females in youth ministry?
Why'd you pull me in on this one?
I feel like you have something coming out.
I don't. I like her answer. I like both of your answers. excuse me. I think that there aren't men in the youth group. I think that Emma has seen a need and been given a heart for the young adults, and she stepped up to the plate. And the Lord is clearly using her, and I do appreciate her heart and her willingness to submit to her dad's leading and guiding, and also you as the senior pastor, biblical leading and guiding. And this is not, submit has such a bad connotation to it in our culture, but to learn from both of you as men and to try and lead the young adults in a biblical, godly way. Not that she would have that, like, authority over them, but truly trying to lead them to Jesus and a better understanding of what Scripture says and who God is and how He has given us His Word, His character, who He is in His Word, and leading them to that. I think that's incredible. Mm-hmm. And I think, like, what a testimony to older people in the church or younger people in the church as well to say, if you see a need and the Lord gives you an opportunity and gives you the heart for that, step out in faith, even if it is volunteering. You know, you may not lead a group per se, but if you've got that, step out and do it, because that could be the Lord's leading you to, because He wants to use you for His glory.
Yeah. And that kind of brings up a good point. Do you desire, see more of a need for people to jump into youth ministry with you?
Oh, yeah, of course. Especially, I mean, the girls, the young ladies have me, but it's also really hard to minister to each one of them because I am one person, and you know, I have to work and I am going to school here soon. But also the young men, I see a big need for a man to come in and start just ministering to these young men and teaching them what it means to be a man and to just show them just true love from a man, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. And it's I think it's really great that you as a female are in this position, because you can direct, you can cast a vision, you can organize, you can minister. But it also calls for men to be involved with the young men.
Yeah.
And it opens up that opportunity and that need.
That not big need.
Yeah, that you can't always fill. Just like when I was a youth pastor, I can't minister to all the young ladies like they need.
Yeah.
So I had to have females pouring into them. And so I think that's what's coming out here is the whole church has to be involved for ministry to work. And this ministry is all about just pouring in, mentoring, displaying, evangelizing, and hopefully discipling young people.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 1 Timothy deal again.
Right.
So
yeah.
So we don't want to age segregate.
No.
No, we do not.
Yeah. So that would hurt this ministry to lead the youth to youth.
I think that would hurt the church, too.
Wouldn't it be really cool to see... did I interrupt you?
Nope. That's all I was going to say.
Wouldn't it be really cool? Like, I think it's fine if the youth want to sit together at church. That's fine.
Right.
But wouldn't it be really cool if they were so comfortable with people in the church that are pouring into them that they're just, like, going to sit with them in the sanctuary?
I'd be down for that.
Imagine people coming in to our sanctuary and then just observing that. Like, these kids are just, like, jumping over there to sit with him, her, you know, all these gray hairs and then all the curly-haired kids, because everyone has curly hair now because Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, that's true.
I've noticed that.
And mullets. Yeah, mullets.
I had a mullet when I was little, and I wore a race car jumpsuit a lot.
I had a mullet in high school.
Did you really?
Unintentionally.
Gross.
Yeah, it was.
You ever had a mullet in?
No, thank goodness.
You never cut your hair as like a little girl?
I did when I was young once, but got in trouble.
I know Rachel did.
You got a mullet?
No, we don't know.
Oh.
What's getting into the specifics of the group that you deal with? What's the demographic there? Mm. What's the context of those young people?
Yeah, so these young people range from 7th to 12th graders. So I think that's like, 13 to 18 years old? I'm really bad at the age. So I would say there's an even number of like males and females in the group. But a lot of them, especially in this area in Holt, come from broken homes and low-income homes. So a lot of times the young people are the only ones in the home actually attending church.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like a big step for them, and it's kind of foreign to them knowing what the Bible is and even knowing what sin is. So
how does that affect your ministry to them? And I know it certainly affects the ministry to the parents, but how does that – how do you deal with that?
Yeah, there's several times that are on Wednesday nights when we do our youth group, I will pick up 4 to 5 students each week. Some of them I even will have in my parents' home for dinner. So we're all around the table having conversation, being a family. And then for like youth events, when we do those, I have to pick up maybe anywhere from like 8 to 10 youth. So it's a lot of dedication and persistence on my side. And I've noticed because, you know, it's the church is foreign to these young people, that Sunday mornings are kind of a hit and miss. Mm. So they don't have anyone encouraging them except for me to attend a Sunday morning service.
Yeah, so to them, like Sunday morning is just like a weekend morning. It never has been ingrained in them like, oh, this is the day we worship.
Yeah, and the stigma of a Sunday morning church can be...
dry.
It's just going to be boring, like going to school.
Right.
Maybe even worse.
Yeah.
Because there's more old people there than there are at school.
Right.
Which is not a license to go and put lasers in your church.
Yeah, no lasers, no smoke shows.
Anyway.
We are not to entertain them at
all. Oh, there's a good segue.
What?
Oh, well, look at me.
Discuss the need for a bold line between worldliness and godliness.
Bingo, bingo, bongo.
In youth ministry.
Huh. Yeah.
No, that's a question. that's to you.
Let's discuss so we all can discuss it. No, there is definitely a need to have that bold line and to know that here at church, at FBC Holt, we are determined to teach the truth and not add any more to it and not add any more or take anything away from it. So it's very important to only do what God has called us to do and not try to entertain them. Mm. So.
That's one of the things I learned early on in youth ministry. I started being around that culture, went to my first like youth event with the group, mm-hmm. went to first youth camp and stuff. And the youth ministry culture was just gross to me. It was just like the youth pastor was trying to be like the coolest right. kid in the group. And it was all about like doing the weirdest thing and all this sort of stuff. And I was just like, that's just not my personality anyway. But then I was like, that's no benefit to them.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of those things are also based on emotions.
Yeah. And like you said, if the context is they come from a home that knows nothing of the gospel,
right.
then they need to see somebody actually living it and being devoted to it, not yeah. somebody who's,
yeah,
you know, up with the latest TikTok trend.
Oh, can't do TikTok.
That's the current context right there.
Hopefully it goes away soon.
Yeah, probably not.
Man, that's something to say about the church, too, I think, just in the whole.
Mm.
We're trying too much to entertain yes. the people on Sunday mornings. Maybe even on Wednesday Bible small group studies, Sunday school studies. Not this church in particular, but the church as a whole. Yeah, we need to be focused utterly on the gospel instead of entertaining people.
Yeah, we don't need to be afraid that people aren't going to listen. God calls, builds his church. People will come and listen.
Yeah. And I was listening to a podcast, I think it's For the Church. Gosh, we're going to have to send a lot of people emails.
Let's do it.
For the Church with Jared C., and they were talking about youth ministry, I think. And they were talking about how in the past we've seen this where it's like you do all these programs and you put together all these events and you try to be cool with the kids, and it's like the exact opposite of what they need and also what they want. Like they're not going to youth group to be entertained. I mean, they may think they are, but they'll consistently show up for like what you said, honesty, truth, and then obviously the gospel does the work. I mean, you're planting and you're sowing the seed, and God is in their hearts and their lives doing the work of making that grow for those that he has. So I just think it's interesting that this is not a new trend to entertain young people and try, like, it's like, it's counterintuitive to us because we think, oh, we got to entertain them. We got to give them new things, TikTok, Instagram, new music, music videos, or they're going to not show up. Like, if we don't entertain them, we don't bring cookies, they're not going to show up. That's not true. I mean, history proves it's not true. So I think that's really cool that your focus is not on entertaining.
Do you find with their struggles and their context that they're hungry when they come in here to find truth or to hear somebody give them what you're giving them in honesty and love? And what do you find them coming for?
Yeah, I definitely think that they come for just a real relationship, for an adult or someone older than them to talk to them and treat them as a fellow adult. And especially with God's word and just God, he definitely creates a hunger in their hearts. And that's obviously nothing I do is keeping them coming back. It's all God.
Mm-hmm.
So
I found that, like, towards the end of my time in youth ministry, I found that, like, if I just, I mean, they had a day full of, like, events and stuff and practices and all that sort of stuff. And I found that when they got to me, like, okay, we're gonna learn the word, we're gonna plant that seed and all that sort of stuff. And then I just set up an environment, created an environment where they would just feel free to unload mm-hmm. what they had been carrying around all day. And the stuff that came out of that, the fruit that was born from that, was crazy. I learned, like, four of the girls were cutting themselves. I learned of situations going on in the home that we could immediately help with. I learned, you know, of you know, one kid that needed to be put in a safer environment. I mean, you just learn all that, and mm-hmm. then you can pour in yeah. so much. So it's just like, yeah, we're maybe at times trying to do too much.
Mm-hmm.
In youth ministry.
And how that would have been totally lost. I mean, you never would have known and been able to help had you just been focused on entertaining, because they would have been playing dodgeball and then eating a pizza
mm-hmm.
and then hear a few scripture verses, go home.
Yeah.
And it's just an added thing to the day. That's crazy.
Yeah. So, anyways. So not that we don't do events and camps and fun stuff. How do you do those?
Yeah, so we mentioned youth camp earlier in this podcast. When I first started as a youth director here, I took our group to attend a larger camp full of other youth groups and really did not enjoy it at all. So I decided through counsel and just God's guidance to create our own camps for our own group so that we could build in unity and develop more of a closer bond to being able to be opened. And so open to each other, I should say. And so also through that, I don't allow cell phones at camp, which is really beneficial, I think.
Yeah.
They might hate it, but it's a good time and opportunity for them to expand themselves and learn how to have a community outside of their phone.
What was the feedback from them after that week of no cell?
They didn't give me any good feedback.
They didn't? Even after all that, they didn't be like, wow, you know, I really didn't miss my phone? Or
nope, they never. Man. They never give me good feedback. It's always negative. So.
Well, that's the other thing about youth ministry, which is tough, Emma's experiencing, is you don't know the fruit immediately.
Mm.
Right.
And the kids, even if they're severely impacted, it's just not going to show for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's hard. But also, back to the youth camp. We are able to tailor the messages too. So I bring in our pastor Dakota, Andy, both of them on this podcast right now, come and give their time to the youth to pour into them.
So. Yeah.
I think it's awesome how you guys do it. You it's like you get time where it's community building, friendship building, but also there's that very intentional, like, this is time we're spending in the word, learning the word. You're going to ponder what we've learned. Like, don't want to just give it to you and then let you go play football. Like, think about it.
Right.
Like, take some time. Think about what this means, how your life should apply to the word of God. I love that because I had never experienced that at any church camp that I went to. It was always like activity, like a churchy kind of worship time with music and then a teacher or preacher that would give a message and then like dinner and then another just free time. So there was, it was like, okay, we got to push through this hour long worship service so we can go back to having fun. Right. It was never like, hey, think about what the word of God says.
Yeah. And at a big camp, you're so distracted with all the other groups there and the hormones of teenagers is like, oh, you know, who's that from that group? Or who's that from that group?
Yes.
And the way Emma has it set up is it's a lot more intimate. And so when we speak, like, for instance, this year we were in a kitchen and the kids are sitting in the dining room.
Yeah.
Beautiful house, by the way. And it's a perfect house for camp.
Mm.
And I'm just speaking over the kitchen island to them and we can interact, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, so we did that. We had the time of like worship and teaching.
Yeah.
And then we had the small group, the guys and the ladies went and did separate studies. We sang songs, so that I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but when it's kind of just like a rushed over.
Right.
I love how you guys focus on those things. It takes time to say, okay, let's slow down for a second and really ponder these things. I also love that you're giving the scripture journals. I think that's an awesome part of camp.
Yeah, I forgot that this year.
Oh.
We fell short.
I thought. Yeah, okay. They needed those too. Dang it, man. I forgot.
That's all right, next
year. Yeah, ESV scripture journals. Stop, if you want to sponsor the podcast.
Oh, if they want to. I don't want to send any more emails.
Crossway.
But yeah, they can sponsor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we can give those to the youth, the young adults.
Yes.
I got to get better at that.
I know. It's a struggle for me too still. So.
So do you prefer young people or adults? Young adults, young people?
Either.
Young human beings.
Yeah. I mean, either calls them higher than just being a teenager, in my opinion. So.
Humans. Look at those humans.
That's what my sons call people, humans. You know, at the post office this morning, I was called a young man.
Wow. Not someone's dad this time.
No. I've been both. I'm at a weird age and appearance.
How old was the person that said young man?
She's probably 70.
Yeah, okay.
You want me to tell you what she said?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, I do, actually.
She said, wow, you're a really good-looking young man.
Oh, my God.
And I said, Thank you, ma'am.
I walked into that one.
Yeah, you did.
Wow. Oh,
but anyways, yeah. Let's get back to youth ministry.
Okay.
What are the current struggles of youth ministry?
Yeah. Obviously, age segregation is a big one. Mm. And this is kind of what I experienced when I first started, is just the young people are not the main concern. Mm. And, I mean, not that they should be, but they shouldn't be just totally ignored. We were down in Arkansas on a family trip this past weekend, and we drove past this church, and I noticed there was an entryway for the adults to go into, and they're like youth church or whatever, and they had arrows down to a separate entryway. And that really bothered me, because the youth and the adults are not two separate churches. They are all one church together, one body of Christ. And so I saw that, and it just kind of was like, oh, that's not what we should be about.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's good. I've never thought of it. Like, because there's a church there's several churches in Springfield. But
that's probably the one you're talking about, isn't it?
It was in Arkansas. So.
Oh, it was in Arkansas. Okay.
The big one in Springfield has like a separate building
for
the youth. And it's like, it's kind of connected, kind of not. And it's like, I never thought of it. But when you use the word segregation, age segregation, that brings a whole new light on it.
It does.
If you want more on this topic of not segregating by age and stuff like that in the church, look up the term family integrated church. Mm-hmm. And it's the idea. Vody Bachum is a great proponent of this, writes on it quite a bit. But it's the idea that the church gathers together families, you know, whatever, widows, all that sort of stuff. You don't divide up like that. And because there's much fruit for all ages when you don't segregate.
Yeah. Emma, talk about a little bit why do you think the church does that? And then, I know this is not on the sheet, but welcome to the podcast. Why does the church do that? And then what would be the fruit of bringing or making the young people more of a priority, or just making them not as segregated, even where it's like a normal thing that they're a part of the church?
Yeah. Well, I kind of mentioned or talked with Dakota about this a while ago, but the age segregation, there's like obviously no discipleship happening. And I was like, you know, I want this discipleship to be happening between the older people and the younger people. But then in our conversation, I was like, do we as the older people even know how to disciple? Mm. And I think, one, there's lack of knowledge on how to do that correctly, because if we don't open God's word, we won't know. And two, I think it's a very intimidating thing as an older person to go to younger people, because it may feel kind of weird or odd that they might not be as accepting of you.
Mm.
So I think one good way to get out of that is to maybe have a discipleship class to learn how to do that, and then somehow get the youth involved with the adults and to grow together in a sense.
Yeah, that's good. I like that. Oh, I don't. And maybe you can speak to this. What if I don't understand how we have gotten to this point of like the young people are their own thing. Mm. What is our goal in church then? This is an honest question. I'm not trying to put anyone down. I'm just trying to figure out if we're not discipling or we're not making all ages a part of the church. Where have we gone? What's happening here?
I was reading a book, and in it they mentioned a sign they saw in a church. It said, "Please silence all cell phones, pagers," when that was a thing, "and babies." Essentially saying like, we don't want your children in here messing up our.
Mm.
But then when you read the Bible, you have, I've been reading Joel, and Joel calls for all people to gather and repent. Gather, and then he says, gather the children, gather the infants, all sort of stuff. And especially, you know, when the New Testament letters were read in a group, you would expect that the family units would be together. You wouldn't expect like, okay, children go over there and play pin the tail on the donkey, and then we'll bring you the children's version of the letter. Huh. You know, we're not giving our children appetite for real truth.
Yeah, I think it comes down to also as individuals, who are we? Are we idolizing something that's taking place of Christ?
Mm.
And if we are, what is that? We need to address it Because if we are not focusing fully on Christ, then we have no ability to teach others or mm-hmm. have that unity within a church.
Yeah. Are we enjoying the way we've established church rather than the fruit of actually gospel ministry?
Right. Yeah. You were getting ready to say, like, are they messing up what we've established this Sunday morning? And that's, I think.
It's pharisaical.
That kind of hit me. Yeah.
It's what the Pharisees do.
Yeah.
Jesus is screwing up our religious system.
Yeah.
So what's that lead to? The crucifying Christ.
Yeah.
And a church can become those crucifiers if they don't watch it. Mm-hmm. And this is one way that you can do that. So, well, what has been most meaningful or impactful in youth ministry?
Yes. We were mentioning this earlier. I think one is me and my family, because my parents have played a huge part of this ministry as well. Just being there to listen to the young people. And I mentioned earlier, we do dinner on Wednesday nights for 3 to 4 of them. And it's just been amazing to watch them grow, even at a table. At first, they were like, you guys don't have a TV in your house? Like, what do? Why we eat? And they're like, they're getting on their phones. And we're like, no, we don't, like, do phones at the table. We talk. And so it was, like, a really awkward, like, okay, how do we have a conversation? And so now, when my dad has to work late, the young people are getting onto my dad for not being at the table with us talking. Wow. And they're like, come and talk with us. Like, we want, you know, we want this relationship, is essentially what they're saying. And so that's been super fun to watch them grow in that aspect, even though it might just be 3 to 4 of them. But, yeah.
So, like, time.
Time, yeah.
Time.
And it requires a whole lot of time.
Yeah. So. And that's how you spell love in youth ministry.
Yeah.
It's T-I-M-E.
T-I-M-E.
Yep. Yeah.
Authentic. That's a trigger word these days.
Authentic.
Marketing word, authentic. But I think.
Being real.
Yeah.
Mm. Let's be real. Let's be real about this next question. What are your hopes and prayers and dreams and wishes?
Okay, yes. So when I first started as youth director, my prayer was for the young people to. Why are you laughing?
The way he did that. I wish you all.
He just watches me and waits for something.
I was like, "What did I say?" Because I don't remember. Okay, whatever. Are we ready?
Yeah, sorry.
you can't throw off our guests like
I'm
that.
Sorry, I won't do it.
No, it's okay. I just didn't know what was going on. But yeah, so when I first started, my desire was for them to see the Bible, or for them to have the Bible come alive to them. Mm. And I realize now that they need to understand the foundation, what the gospel is, and how life-changing it can be if they allow God to do the work and the Holy Spirit to transform them. So that is a new hope that I realize we need to focus on more, is the foundation. Because like I said, some of them were asking what sin was just a month ago. And it's like, I was like, wait, I thought we already talked about this. But kind of like going back and saying it like 1,000 times to make them understand is something I have to remember to do.
You know, I don't know why this brought up this question, but I meant to ask you, what was their response? Because when we saw Noah, when we saw like a live action theatrical play of Noah, what did they say? I didn't notice. I didn't hear anything.
Mm-mm. No, I didn't either. But from some other adults there, some of them opened the Bible in their rooms that night and learned what the truth behind the story was. So they kind of were like curious, asking questions like, did this really happen? From what Sight and Sound presented, what does the Bible say about it? So some of them opened the Bible and
that's
read
awesome.
It. Yeah,
I'm sure some of them never heard that story.
Oh yeah,
before.
I can. Yeah, definitely.
Wow. The thing that the visual represented or did well in that play was the closing of the door on the ship and the knock and the banging on the door. I think that was the most impactful visual part of that whole deal. And so I was hoping that maybe they'd see that, like, wow, grace is extended now, not forever.
Yeah.
I don't know if they saw that. I never heard a word out of them.
No, they when they speak, it's sometimes just to complain. So,
being a teen.
Yeah.
No, being a young person.
A young person, yeah. Call them above that. No, my cousin. This is kind of off topic, but when she went and did a youth event at this certain place, they told the young people not to state the obvious, and I'm like, I need to start doing that. So if they're mad that they don't have their phones, that they can't take a picture, don't state that you're mad. ask me for my phone and then you can take a picture. So don't say, I really like that.
Yeah, I can tell you're angry with me, but don't point that out.
Don't continue doing it.
Yeah. I want to go back to something you said about sin and feeling like you'd mentioned that 1,000 times and then somebody's still asking, because I can attest to
being a sinner.
Yes, that's number one. I'm like, I think Paul's wrong when he said he was the worst. I'm like, actually. But I think growing up in the church, especially for us, because we both did, taking some things for granted. Like,
yeah,
we've heard that probably more than 1,000 times, and we know what sin is, and we've been in the Word, and we've had the Word read to us, we've had it preached to us, sang to us, and so there are things that I personally still take for granted when talking with someone who has not spent their life in a Bible-rich environment. So, yeah, that would be something that I would probably struggle with, is remembering and having grace and like, okay, we need to come back to the basics, because I think that's really cool.
Yeah, that is true. I think also for people who have been in the church for a long time, it's hard for them to know how to simplify certain things to explain it. Because you can read, you know, in scripture, but then there's like these big words that need to be broken down. And sometimes it is hard to do that, because I'm like, I know it, but how, you know, do I teach it? And when you teach it, I feel like you have more you become more knowledgeable about it.
Yeah.
So. I think being in youth ministry or discipling a youth helps you to do that,
because
you have to do that. And so it helps you in your own mind to break things down and say, hey, what about the term adolescent?
It's a weird word.
I feel like that's like younger, like
even younger than,
yeah, like going like from 10 to like 12 age.
Adolescent.
That's just me. I don't want to use that
Can
word.
Can you use it in a phrase? Adolescent.
Adolescent.
The young adolescent fell into, sprayed graffiti on the church wall. Broke the church window. We found
out. Well, now you're just using the adolescent word bad.
You're giving a negative connotation.
I think of delinquent when I think of adolescent.
Okay, interesting.
Adolescent. Like a police officer would use the word adolescent.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know how that came up, but anyways.
I do.
Emma, our listeners, our devoted listeners and fans, want to know how they can pray for you or extend a hand.
Yes. First off, I think they need to pray for the hearts of the youth, because they are hungry, but to also for that hunger to stay there and not for it to like kind of get put out in a sense.
Yeah.
Prayer for adults willing to get involved with the young people's lives, to become, like we were talking about, for our church to become one church instead of the young people and the older people. To extend a hand, like come on down on a Wednesday night. Spend time with the youth group. Stay. I mean, it starts at 6:30 on Wednesday nights, goes to 8. So, I mean, it's not that
it's
much.
It's tonight.
Time. Yeah.
Practically, what would that look like for people that have felt the conviction to come pour into youth, but they don't know, like, what do I do? What would that?
Well, first, they can just start with a conversation, like with me or anyone in youth that are helping. And then ask, just like, how can I get involved, you know? And I'll tell you, just come on a Wednesday night and just start getting to know them.
Yeah, just be around.
Maybe bring cookies. Might get lighten the mood a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Be around. You'll fall into a conversation.
It'll happen.
Yeah.
Like I said, the young people want it. And so once it starts, it will.
Yeah.
Be pretty good.
And if you're a consistent person in their life by being there for a month or two, mm-hmm. then they'll start to open up to you as somebody that they can.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And there are so many youth outside of even our church in Holt
mm-hmm.
that we're not even like reaching essentially right now. Mm. That, I mean, for me, I need to think of ways to do that. But even getting other people involved that you know are young enough to come would be great.
It's like the best form of advertising is not something you pay for or put out there in lights, but it's word of mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And the changed lives and hearts of these youth that are in the community. Hey, you come down to youth group with me.
And this happened a couple of times. So
yeah.
It's been pretty cool to watch.
Amen.
That's awesome.
Well, we'll continue to pray for this ministry, pray for workers for the harvest, pray for the youth, the young people themselves. So. Andy, you have any more talking points?
I don't have. You had a lot of talking points. How can I come up with more?
We
than that?
Hit them all, man. This was a just
very productive podcast.
Yep, absolutely.
I'm going to add to the production. If you guys have questions, comments, or want to know further how to help the young ministry here. Emma, go ahead and email us at, what is it?
Info at
roaringglory.com.
What is it? You got to email it a few times to get used to it.
Yeah. Info@roaringglory.com.
Info@roaringglory.com. If you email us at info@roaringglory.com, you will get a personalized handwritten letter.
And
which
a sticker?
I've gotten both of those.
And a sticker or two.
Yeah.
Maybe
two.
Or two.
Whoa.
And also, if you follow us on social media, which would be Instagram pretty much, we will be doing some more t-shirt giveaways.
Mm.
Andy dropped me off a bag of t-shirts, and I got to give them away.
They look dope.
Yeah. So if you want a free t-shirt, who doesn't? Follow us on Instagram at Roaring Glory.
It is kind of weird for someone that's not won a free t-shirt.
Every chance I get, man, I take them. Even if it's like I'm not even qualified to be a part of the giveaway, I weasel my way in there. Give me that free shirt.
Yeah, because you never win any contests.
I don't. That's a scientific fact.
I won my first Instagram contest through Roaring Glory.
Hey, so, shout out to ourselves.
Emma had like 13 entries in one post. Killed it. And I was waiting, Emma, for it to be like, she's not going to win. It's going to be somebody that we don't even know that just put one in there. And it worked.
I went crazy with it.
It worked. So anyways, well, this has been a blasty blast. And I appreciate you guys for being here and taking time out of your day and schedules.
Yes.
To humor me and our audience and to give further insight into what is happening in God's kingdom here on earth. God bless. I love you.